This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And I think I have earned a place in your lives to speak as a father this morning as well, and to start speaking serious about certain things. So if you are a member or a visitor this morning, give us just a minute or two to speak to the family. I believe you'll understand that as a father. But I believe there's certain key moments in the history of every church, of every believer, and where God is taking us. And we're standing this morning at such a key moment. And thank you. There's somebody excited there, at least. And when we were planning this, you know, I said to the Lord, well, we didn't know how we want to do that. And then I just sensed the Lord said, do it in two phases. And I know today why I do this in two. An introduction and an ordination part of JP and them and Marlesia. But and I'm speaking to the faithful this morning. I'm speaking to the one sitting here this morning. But there are key moments in any congregation's time that we have to cut up down and sit and just leave aside what we, or leave, sit aside, leave aside, sorry, what we are busy with. I believe one of them is this morning. Okay? There's a lot of people here this morning that I'm aware of, that I know you well enough, that is not here this morning. Okay? And I know it's time to go back to home, speak to our brothers here this morning, and say, after the rest, and say, listen, in 3 months I'm coming back. And then we're here for a key moment, for a Kairos moment in this church. And I'm saying this at the beginning so that we count the cost at the beginning, okay? Ek raas hier vanoggend, ek maak raas ook. All right, I'll say that in love. Because there's a transfer that's basically taking place. And if other things are too important for you in your spiritual journey, and I'm saying it for the record, so maybe if you don't want to pass the message on, just tell them, listen to the message on Sunday and blame it on me. But it's important for me here this morning that you realize that what's happening here this morning is not just another Sunday. And I've got certain expectations, and I really have expectation around a Sunday like this and in 3 months' time as well, when there's a spiritual thing happening place in the spiritual realm that calls all of us just to stand still for a moment and just say, listen, nothing is now more important because this is part of my journey. This couple that's coming here and that we are busy introducing this morning to you, they come with a price. Okay, I want to say that. I say that with love. Because I know what it takes to stand here in the front. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying it's a price. It's a price that you have to pay to stand here. Not everybody's willing to come here. And I honor you really for what God is doing and where he's using you. But to get people into full-time ministry is not, it's people that are willing to walk out in faith with fear sometimes. And it's also coming with a price from our side as well, with love and a price. And I say that with love as well. That they are dear and precious to us. They are dear and precious to us. They leave a gap in our congregation because they served faithfully, because they were passionate, because they were there all the time. And I expect, and I'm saying that for the record, I expect that if the man of God steps into the place, that we honor him for the place where God has called him. And I say that for the record, I say that for 3 months from now, that we go back to that place, that we ask ourselves what is more important than where God is taking us. This is not about raising, boasting about a person, but this is about key moments and Kairos moments. And guys, I want to thank you for those of you that faithfully here this morning to come and celebrate with us this morning, a day like this, because there's a transfer that's taking place. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss those key moments, okay? So this is so important that when we come back in 3 months' time, that we plan accordingly, that we try. Now, sometimes there are various reasons that we cannot make it, which is valid. But the majority of the time, I find that we just have stupid excuses to God. That we can just put that aside and say, God, this is our journey. This is important for us. We honor this couple, but we want to be. And you know, the main thing why I say this morning is because I expect people to come and stand beside them this morning. Because I know if you don't have those people alongside you, it's a lonely place. I thank God I've got people around me that support me, that pray for me, and they're here this morning. I love them. I can show them. Some of our people drove from Swakop to celebrate what God is doing in Windhoek. If you cannot get even from your house in Windhoek, even to here this morning for other reasons, Come on, we need to count the cost this morning. The kingdom is not coming cheap. Okay, that's my part this morning, and now I can preach. But before we go, is that okay? Luister na die preek, vra vir mense, please listen to this, this is important. I say that because I know where God is taking us. It's a place where we count the cost. JP and Melissa, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand here with me. And Mark, if you can stand here. Christine, the eldest in Swakop there. And you know, I'm excited for you, but I'm sad at the same time. Because I know what I'm sowing to you. I know what I have in them. And I give them to you. But I give them to you with love. Because I know God has got a plan for them. For their lives. But I expect that you appreciate what God is giving you. And I put emphasis on this morning. Because I believe if we lay the right foundation from the beginning, God will bless this church. This is not just another time. I was standing at the back there, and God says, the time is gone for this church crawling. You passed the crawling states. It's time to start running. Amen? And I've got a high expectation this morning. Believe me, I've got a high expectation that we go back home, that we count the cost and say, we're ready to run, God. We're ready to stand side by side. We're ready here to support you. And today is just an introduction. I said to JP, in the next 3 months, JP, all you do is just drink coffee with the people. So he's got a mandate and a decision or order just to drink coffee. So somewhere in this 3 months, I expect you, if he doesn't get to you, give him a call or give them a call and say, listen, can we just have a chat? Can I just tell you who I am? And this is 3 months more or less for you just to get to know this couple the way we know them. I know after 3 months you will love them. Some of you already love them. And bless the Lord for that. But they were willing to uproot themselves, to resign, to come to this place and say, God, here we are. And today I'm speaking on the mighty men of God. And I know why I'm sharing on that. I had another message in mind during the week, and on Thursday morning or Wednesday morning, the Lord changed that. And we need mighty men around him and women around him, but I refer to them as men just in general as the Bible, that would side next to them and say, here we are. We are sharing this burden with you. We cannot share this burden alone. God has never called us as individuals in this ministry in the kingdom of God. We as a team. We as a family. I actually prefer that word. We as a family. Okay, as brothers here, of which He is leading, of which they are leading this morning. And JP, I want to give you guys this scripture this morning. Like I said, we'll come back in 3 months' time, and that gives all of us here a time in the camp just to prepare our hearts for the journey ahead. 3 months just to get one another, to know one another, but after 3 months, we're going to blow the ram's horn. So anybody that can blow the shofar here, Mike, you can do. We're going to blow, remind me on that Sunday, we're going to blow the shofar, and we're going to declare it's wartime. From now till then, go and sharpen your weapons. Go and sit down, spend time with the Lord, ask Him where is he taking you. Why has He brought this couple, or what is He saying to you individually, or where you need to come and stand? And then we'll blow that ram's horn and say, God, we're ready to take on the city. Amen. Kom ons raak opgewonde daaroor. JP came, I think I shared it briefly with you guys. How long is it ago? 3 years ago, when you guys came to us. And what happened is we were at Awakened conference, and I remember that Sunday so clearly. I was standing there, and they kneeled in front of me, well, in front of the altar, and they responded to the altar call there for some other things. And as I was standing there, I heard the Lord saying to me, this couple is called to full-time ministry. And I was just so excited. Wow, Lord, I have to tell them. And the Lord said, no, you don't tell them. And I always joke about this, because then I started going into a conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, but how would they know? Anyway, but God is faithful to speak to us. So don't you think that you're always the messenger? and I had to really keep it quiet, because I'm excited when I hear things like that for their sake. And I think it was within 2 weeks, maybe not even 2 weeks, I can't remember, that JP came to me and said, yes, He's hearing this and this and this. And then I saw God's faithfulness just to speak to us. And that was the beginning of the journey. So I said to JP, just go back to the Lord, and then you ask him. Just spend time with the Lord. All the Lord wants is just a yes and no. That's all. And I think, and I'm going to share that this morning as well. So often when we argue with God, all God wants is just a yes or no. I want to take you down this. Is it yes or no? And then we are with the fine print. God, can I just see the contract first? Can we just read the fine print first? And I tell you what, God doesn't give you the fine print because it's a faith journey. Amen. It's a faith journey. Because tomorrow, he gives us just enough detail for tomorrow. And they were willing in their obedience to step out in faith and say, here we are. You know, if there's one thing that would distinguish us from where God is taking us, then it's our desire and our hunger. If we can act upon that. And they fed that, they've responded, they've acted upon that, and they've been faithful. And that's why I say this morning, they come with a price from our side. But we sow them gladly into you. Because we know God is taking them, but also this congregation. We love you, and we love the people here. And we know that God wants to take you so much further to bless the city, to be a blessing to the city, to be a blessing for people around you. And you need people, and you need people to lead you. And we honor Pastor Philip and Anna Marie for what they've done. And I really want to honor you as well as a congregation. I have to say that, and I've said it many times. Mark is a witness of that. I've said it so many times that I'm so proud of this congregation that in the last, was it 6 months almost, yeah, or 4 or 5 months, that you stood up, that you manned up, and that you're still here this morning. That it didn't sink, the ship didn't sink, and maybe you thought, we're sinking, but we didn't sink, okay? And this morning, this is it, okay? I remember when we were end of December last year, it felt so long to speak about, hey, end of April, around there, we'll probably have somebody in place. This is it this morning. And this is why I say this is a key moment. This is not just another Sunday. It's a key moment, even just for us being present here, showing our support and our presence here. And that's why it's important to us. Not so much if whether you get a word or not today. That's irrelevant. It's about what's happening in the spiritual realm. Let's honor what God does that. And this is a lesson for all of us. There are going to be another watershed moments in the dividing lines in our history as a church as well. When Jesus, or when the Lord has to tell Joshua, you take a few stones, put it down there and let it become a memorial stone. Today is one of those memorial stone moments. 3 months from the line, it will be another memorial stone moment. Let's not miss out on those moments. There's a blessing. Let's get to the scripture. It says here, Haggai 2, verse 4, but now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong, all you people still left in the land, and now get to work, for I'm with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid. JP? Sure, man. Jou gaatje is leeg vir ons, en somtijds met my kop nog gewoond raak, and that I can't pick up the phone and tell you, please help me with this and this. And you were so faithful, both of you, in serving us there, and being unselfish, and I know you would do the same with the people here. And I know God would provide and pray for us that God would fill your place there. Because it's not easy. It's not easy, and therefore I honor you for what you've done, for your obedience, for your willingness, for your zeal, for your freshness that you bring, and the passion that you bring. And therefore we sow you this morning gladly into this congregation. So can we have some oil? Is it some oil here at the back? Yeah, we have some. We'll do this like they said. The Bible said they threw out the whole oil. They pour out the whole oil. Mike, can you stand here with me as well? Father, we give you this couple this morning. Father, we know that they've given you your yes a long time ago. And Father, we know that you are still with them in a journey, as you are with us this morning, Lord, as you are with every individual. But Father, we pray for their journey, Lord. We pray for where you've called them, Lord. And Father, even this morning, not all of that, and only a small part is known to us, Lord, of what we can see. A lot is not even known to them this morning, but Father, you are aware of their future. You are aware of the tomorrow. You are aware of the next month, Lord. And you say this morning, fear not. You are the one this morning that say, I am with you. Be strong. I thank you, Father, this morning that as we almost in a way hand them over, Lord, as we sow them into this congregation, we do so, Father, with a, as your word says in Psalm 126, that those who sow in tears will reap with the harvest with joy. And Father, we sow in tears, Father, because we know how special and precious they are to us. But Father, we know at the other end that this congregation can reap with joy this morning as well, Lord, receiving them, Lord, as ones being sent from you, Father. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit that rests upon them, Lord, this morning that will come mightily upon them, Lord. And Lord, as we are calling them into this place, into this office, to occupy that place, to own that place, Lord, to man up to that place, to stand on that ground, Lord, that you've given them, Lord, and to walk with a confidence in that place. We thank you, Lord, that there's trust and the confidence this morning is not in their abilities, Father. It's not in their contribution, but purely, Father, in the sake that you have called them and that you are the God, that you are the one that fights for them, Lord. And this morning, Father, I thank you, Lord, that whenever they feel discomforted, Lord, whenever they feel disheartened, Lord, whenever they feel weak, Father, that there are people around them, as Mike is laying hands upon them, Father, that symbolizes the support, Father, of a congregation that will come around them, Lord, to say, here we are. We are praying for you and we are here for you. And Father, I thank you that they will never run ahead, Father, that they will move in front, but Father, that they will walk together in unity, Lord. I pray that this morning, Father, that we will conglomerate, Lord, around this, Lord, that we will come to one place in the Spirit, Father, a oneness here, Lord, this morning, with us being present here, but Father, for those that's not present here this morning, that we unite under one cause, and that is to further your kingdom here in Windhoek, Father. And Father, we want to lay aside every other thing, every other obstacle, every other thing, Lord Jesus, that prohibits us from seeing the fullness and walking in the fullness of that. We thank you. I thank you, Father, that you give them a heart, Father, for the city, Lord, right now, Lord, and from here onwards, Father, that as they've had a heart for Swakopmund and the area where you've called them to serve, Father, there's a transfer, there's something that's taking place in their hearts, Father, that cannot be explained to mankind, but Father, that you can do, Father, a yearning and a passion for the lost of this city, Father. And I pray, Father, they will not sleep, that they will not rest, Lord, until they fulfilled, Father, what you've called them to do. And likewise, I pray for each and everyone in this place, in this congregation, those present, those not present, Lord, that a discomfort will come upon your people, Father, a godly discontentment, Father, to see that the kingdom of God will come in Windhoek, Lord, and the surrounding regions, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you use them, Father, that your anointing rests upon them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, where they fall short, Lord, your grace is there sufficiently to cover them this morning, Lord. We bless them richly, Father, with the riches of Christ this morning, Lord. And we honor you, Father, as the one that calls, that equips, and that sends this morning, Lord. And Father, we rely upon you, and we acknowledge that this morning as well. Lord, that myself, JP, our elders, everyone, Father, in leadership, our cell leaders present here this morning, Lord, that, Father, that our hope is in you, that we rely upon you, Lord. And, Lord, that we'll never run ahead of where you want us to go, Lord, but that we'll wait patiently upon you, but then we'll walk faithfully and obediently, Lord, where you called us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Baie dankie, Jelle. Soek, het iemand al 'n tissue? Ek het my so vol olie gesmeer nou. Mike, dankie. While I'm waiting for the tissues, give somebody a high five there at the back and say, are you ready for what God is doing? Dankie, Tannie Doris. My little one, youngest one, the other day we rented DVD. We got in the car, my brother was here visiting, and so we watched a few DVDs, and nevertheless, we got in the car, and the kids, some of the nights, we took out some DVDs that that they could watch as well. But this specific night, we had one, and as we got into the car, my little one said, "Daddy, Papa het jy 'n skietfliek uitgeneem." Okay. It's an action movie, okay? This is just our way of talking. And I was, because they're not allowed to watch that, but I've got a bit of that still in me that enjoys the action and the, and that. And I said, "Yes, I've got the skit flick." And she was so disappointed. "Ah, now we can't watch that with you." And started crying and, you know, try manipulating me. And, you know, obviously she succeeded, so we had to go back there and just get something for them beforehand. And but I guess there's something deep inside of us. And ladies, I believe for you as well, just in the other way it finds form, that we want to fight, you know. On Friday night, we were at a congregation members' party there, and the boys, it was the army party there. Well, it was an adult party, but the army, there's so many boys there, and they all had guns that they made themselves with wooden guns, running around the house and chasing one another there, trying to conquer, trying to do something there. And it's all night was going well until a certain place when there were no more bullets left because they were shooting and nobody's dying. And then the one brother threw the other brother with a gun on the lip, and it's just blood everywhere. And the party is over, but for a moment. So the fight was going fierce. And but there's something I believe inside of all of us to conquer for the kingdom of God. To make sure that we take on the enemy, that we're ready, and that we accomplish what God has called us to do. The other day I was reading scripture, and I just love Old Testament. I don't know why, but it's, to me, it's stories. My kids like their stories at night, but the Bible, or specifically the Old Testament, is so filled with stories, and out of the stories we learn so much. And one of that was in 1 Chronicles, when the Bible shares about David's mighty men. If you read that part where they share about what they've done, David's mighty men, and I was reading that, and I read it many times before, but I read that again, and then I remember I prayed a prayer. I said, "God, raise up such mighty men around me that will not be afraid to go out there and conquer in enemy territory." That was my prayer. I ended it there, and I got on my bicycle to go for some exercise. Somewhere there in the Soutpanna daar, but now we won't say now. It was about 10 k's out of town, and then I'm meditating upon the scripture of the morning, this story, and then suddenly I sensed as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Yaku, why did David's men reach the Bible, or their stories reached the Bible, or was recorded, and Saul's men?" And I meditated upon it. I thought about it. Why did their stories, the chapter that was allocated to them and what happened in their lives, although it was just a short bit, that they reached scripture? Surely Saul must have had men around him as well that fought with him, but they didn't reach. The Bible didn't give them a place. There's no place that it was recorded. And I thought about that. If you think about the Bible, how it was written, then before it was actually written, people, that, especially from Moses' time as well, the culture was to tell stories to the children and the next children and the next generation. So, and that's why if you read this couple of places when God refers to that, or where he instructs them in the Old Testament to tell them, "Listen, tell this to the next generation." The memorial stone is exactly the same thing, because We as human beings tend to forget so easily. And especially with the memorial stones, God had to tell them, "Listen, put the stones down there. It's just an odd thing, a lot of stones, a heap of stones there. But when your kids ask you what's happening, or what has happened there, why are the stones here?" So that you would know and tell them, "This is where God has come through for us." And so they would tell the stories of the heroes, maybe sitting around the fire. You know, I can just imagine that. And these mighty men were some of these men that reached the Bible. Actual fact, you know what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, Chronicles 12, verse 14. Let me just read that, actually. Yeah, verse 14 says this. These warriors from however you want to pronounce that, were army commanders. Listen to this. The weakest the weakest among them could take on 100 regular troops. And the strongest could take on 1,000. Now, he's not talking spiritual. He's talking natural here. Okay. Think about that. I don't know. I'll be lightfoot. I will be very careful being around a man like that, that are able to take on 1,000, even 100 people. I'm not capable of doing that. But there's something inside of these men that made them so unique around David. And we can speak about David, and probably you've heard a lot of sermons about David this morning. But there's something about these men that were so unique that the Bible record their story and even say that they were able to take on 100 and 1,000. Amen. I think that's amazing. That you have a kind of army. You will later see that the army was compared to the army of God. But before we go there, let me take you on a rabbit trail for a moment. I hope you brought your Bibles. I brought mine. I've got mine here. So, and we're going to read from Psalm 119 this morning. So, amen. Thank you. Be excited. Okay. Just on that note, I'm hammering on that. My people in Swakop will know that I actually, one of these days, I'm going to have an usher there at the door, and I'm just going to ask him, please check that every person is bringing in a Bible into the church. If they haven't got a Bible, I must show you the cell phone, that they've got it on the cell phone, that they've downloaded the app, that at least that you've got your weapon there. And if you haven't got the Bible, we'll buy one for you, or we'll show you how to download that. But that's your weapon. And I'm saying that with love, and I haven't said that here before, but the men that was at the men's camp will know. You like a pak gekry daar so oor hier Bybel by die kerkie nie. So I'm just going to enforce that further and say, bring in your Bible and your notebook, because that's a good habit that keeps us teachable, that helps us at any given time when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that you make a note, okay? And that we write it down somewhere. It's just the way we're going to, and probably till you die, you'll have to have some form of notebook or Bible close by, so that whenever you interact with the Holy Spirit, you've got reference and you can write it down. Personally, I prefer my Bible. I know I've got my Bible on my phone as well for emergency cases, but I like writing my Bible sometimes in the middle of a service when somebody's sharing, bang, the Holy Spirit would speak to me, and I would just write it there, underline it or highlight that. So that's just a practical note. And these are precious things. I shared with our congregation last week that I've got a Bible there that I just treasure so much, because it's 10 years worth of encounters with God that's in that Bible. And it's falling apart, but more than 10 years actually, that is there of memories and visions and revelations and words of encouragement. And I tell you what, prophecies that hasn't even come to fulfillment yet, still there. So start using that. But I've got another book here. It's called The Book. Okay. Now I want you to know that everything we do here on earth is being recorded. I don't know if that's a surprise to you, but there's a tape playing, or what is it? You don't get a tape anymore. But there's a record of your life right now, and it's still on the record button. Okay? It's not been paused, and it's not been stopped yet. Okay. While you're still breathing, that thing is just running, and just the older people, you will know the tape. So, still running. I don't know what to sketch, how to sketch the picture for those of us there. The computer is recording you, as it's recording me right now. It's recording every word, every deed, every action of you and me. And one day, I believe, God is going to take, and he's referring to the book of life, because we're all of us, you'll have to take the book of life and say, okay, guys, let's start here from a side. I don't know how thick that book is. And you'll start with that and say, okay, let's see if your name is in the book of life. Sad day in the history of mankind, if your name is not in that book that day. But I believe that the Bible says as well that our deeds are recorded and all of that, and there's a rewind button one day. God will say, and for us as believers as well, not just for the unbeliever, for us as believers as well, so that God can reward us for the good works that he's called us to do. Listen, Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 talks about why we are saved, how we are saved through grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for we've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Okay? And then he carries on in verse 10, and he gives us the reason why. for you have been saved for good works, that you should walk in that. Now it's different for all of us this morning. But God will rewind that tape, if I can use the word tape this morning, so that we can talk about your good works. Because the Bible talks about live in such a way, live in those good works, so that the people out there, the unbelievers, will see the good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. Okay? So there will be a rewind button. And here's the thing. I don't believe we operate individually. So this is just my interpretation. Okay, so bear with me for a moment. I believe for Windhoek there will be a book as well. So I'll probably open the book of Windhoek. Because Shofar, Windhoek is just too small to reach the whole city. Okay, and God has called a various amount of churches. And has given different mandates to different churches within the city. To do certain things within the city. So for instance, if we're in Windhoek, and he would take out the book of Windhoek and say, let's just page to Shofar Swakop, Shofar Windhoek. And I called you and you started that church in, I don't know when. And this is the history of Shofar Windhoek. And let's read the story, as in the story with David and his men, of their dispensation, of their generation. It's telling us something about the time where they lived. I believe the same thing will occur with us as well. We got the privilege to read about their mistakes and their things, and we think, oh, you were stupid, or all the Bible, but we're just doing the same things again. Our story will be written as well and be read to them as well one day. And then they will read probably and they say, okay, Quiz was in, I don't know what your story would be, but here's the thing, it will always be in the form of family, I believe. Because somewhere in this Bible or in this book, in Shofar Windhoek, what will your story be written in the chapter of this church? I hope it's not, of course, attended the church. And that's your story and that's the bottom line. That's the full mark. I hope somewhere there's a bit more to your story. Quiz, I don't know why a quiz is now in my brain. I'll use that. Hopefully nobody's a quiz here this morning. Or Peter. Peter attended. Peter didn't stop at salvation, but Peter went further. Peter slotted in. Peter discovered that God has called him to more than just attending church. Then Peter went further, and Peter became a cell leader. And then Peter discovered his gifting. And Peter said, no, he will not stay at that place. He's going to use that which God has given them, and then he's going to step out in faith. And then Peter, after he stepped out in faith, started with this ministry. And after he stepped out into this ministry, God started blessing him. And as a result of that, the city was blessed. I don't know about you, but I think that's a better story than just somebody that says, Peter attended church. Amen. Then there would probably be somewhere in the back there, after we covered the church, a chapter which I called floaters. Let me see if I get a few floaters there. Those that never slot in, they never commit to something, they're just afraid somebody can get too close to them, because if they get too much in their space, they challenge them too much, and then they're too uncomfortable with going that deeper step, so I'd rather just keep a distance. And you get them all over. You get them in church, and you get them outside the church. You get floaters right here this morning. Hopefully not. But you get the floaters out there. In actual fact, I met with a floater this week, divinely, in the coffee shop. And I'm still praying on to the Lord. I said, God, what is my role here? Because this is a rough diamond. I told the guys. I sat there. When was it? Wednesday morning. Or was it Tuesday morning? I had a meeting, or I had some preparation. Some days I just take out time. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I couldn't sit in my office. So I took my laptop, and I sat somewhere else in a coffee shop just preparing myself. And I had to work through some preparation for work that we're going to do in the north. And that we are doing a partnership with an organization. So I had a lot of that material with me. And then as I'm sitting there, I hear somebody speaking about the Lord here at the back. God, God, and I'm not a pastor, and I'm not doing it. And suddenly it got my attention. And then I thought, maybe I should just position myself. I don't know why. And this, I'm not saying God said this. This is why I'm still figuring out, did I miss the Lord here? And I thought, I'm going to just take this book of mine, this the spiritual book. I'm just going to place it here in the front here strategically. And I'm just going to see what happens. It's like a bait, putting it out there. And if I see a response, then I'll just go in faith and just see where this is taking me. And it happened as I thought. This guy finished his coffee, he walks past this, and he stops by, and he's, "Oh, I've got a similar book like that. Oh, what are you busy with?" I said, "Just sit down, so we can talk." And it was 10 minutes into my next meeting. I had a meeting scheduled for 11 o'clock, and I said, "Sure, man, maybe I don't believe in coincidence. I think this must be it. And I said, "Okay, let's make a deal. Come back tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, then we see one another." Anyway, so I came back the next morning. The long story short, this is a man, came out of a pastor's house, or his father was a pastor, but he was just totally all out there, being hurt in church, angry with the church, but he's got a calling in his life. But he's trying to fulfill this calling outside the church. And he's got a problem with every single church out there. And he's just so filled with charismatic religion. Not the other one. He refers to himself as Pinkster. He doesn't like the charismatics, but anyway, big guy there. And he would even speak like that as well. He said, "Die Here sê vir my, ek gaan 'n oproep uit die noorde uit kry en ek gaan daar bedien." And I thought, "No, man, you're not impressing me with any of that." But I'm just listening, and I'm just allowing him to afterblast. He's going on like that. And then halfway, I said, "Listen, I don't know. I can't say to you why we are here this morning. But I'm trying to figure out, and I do think you're trying to figure out as well, what's happening here. And I commit to go back and pray about this. But what one thing I can tell you, and I've never been so honest with a person in the first appointment as I'm going to be as honest with you, because I've got nothing to lose and you've got nothing to lose. I said, "You've been hurt by the church. I said, you're a rough diamond. You've got a calling on your life, but you've got to stay." And I said to him this as well. I said, "I've never said this to people as well. So please realize, I said this in love. I say this just to you. Don't come to our church yet, please, because you're going to scare the people off. And you're probably going to be angry at the churches, because you're going to realize we're not perfect either." Because he was going on about this, and I'm not doing this and this. And I'm just trying to get into that place of just relaxing so that somewhere we can have a conversation. But this is a rough diamond. And he might be at the back of the chapter somewhere in the floating section right now. I guess that God is trying to use me just to get him back into that place of into the family so that God can continue writing his story. There's so many people this morning. And let's read scripture. Sorry, my introduction is very long this morning. I'll keep the rest short so that we can get to the praying part. It's worrying if you see the introduction is so long. Where are we going to go this morning? 1 Chronicles 12 verse 18. Only one scripture this morning. It says this: "We are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you, and success to all who help you. For your God is the one who helps you." I want you to note something here. Let's just read maybe just 1 Chronicles 11. And we're going to jump between 1 Chronicles 11 and 1 Chronicles 12 this morning. Just a couple of scriptures I'm going to touch on, okay? You can go and read the two chapters. We haven't got time this morning. The Bible says in verse 10, is that the one? Can we go to, yes. "These are the leaders of David's mighty warriors. Together with all Israel, they decided to make David their king, just as the Lord had promised concerning Israel." I want you to notice here, and I want to share four things quickly that we discover from these men that we can take home with us this morning, that we can ask ourselves questions, four qualities, four statements about these men that's important if we want to become history makers, if we want to write ourselves, or we want to enable or allow God through our lives to write a story in the chapter of Windhoek, or Shofar Windhoek, wherever we are planted, or if you're visiting this morning. Four things, and I'm going to ask some questions here this morning just for us to think about that. But the first thing I notice, and I want you to say that up front this morning, that David is a type of Christ. Anything in the Old Testament points to something. When you look at that specifically in the Old Testament context, when they refer to David is a type of Christ to come. So we're going to look at this whole passage through that lens, through David as a type of Christ. And the first scripture I find that is so significant for me this morning is this one. They made they decided, listen, they decided, didn't happen automatically, they decided to make David their king. Now, before we dig into that, I want us just to read together as a prophetic declaration this morning unto God. Verse 18, just a previous one. Can we go back? That one. Let's read that together. And we say that unto the Lord as something that's about to take place in our lives. Okay? Let's read together. We are yours. We start from there. We are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you, and success to all who help you, for your God is the one who helps you. So David let them join him, and he made him officers over his troops. But basically, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, we are yours. Now here's the thing, and it might sound to you obvious that you say this morning, oh, Jesus is my king, but let me go back a little bit into Scripture. When we read Scripture, here's the thing. 36 times in Scripture, Scripture refers to Jesus as Savior. You need to make, and this is why I say you need to take note of this. 36 times, Scripture refers to Jesus as Savior. But, and this is when there's a but, this is where you need to use your highlighter. 7,800 times, Scripture refers to God as King, as Lord, as Lord. There's a difference this morning between Jesus as your Savior and Jesus as your Lord. Amen? It's not the same thing. The day when you came to Christ, you made him your Savior. And the church is preaching more about the Savior than it's preaching about the King and the Lord. And it's great that we need to get to know the Savior. And hopefully this morning, it might be for some of us being present here this morning, that Jesus becomes your Savior. But somewhere along the line, you need to decide to make him your King. Because kingship means he wants to take control over every aspect of your life. I find it that we are saved, that we live in church, that we live in the kingdom, but Jesus is not king of my life yet. You are saved, probably saved. You're going to heaven, but you're still going to heaven with the crown on your own head. How many Christians do you know this morning that's still in control of their own lives, that's still in control of their diary, that's still in control of their time, that's still in control of their passions, their desires? Because Jesus is not king of that part. And kingship means there's an autocratic rule. It means a domain. It means he's got the final say over that. And I just want to challenge you this morning, or put it out there, in any area of your life, ask yourself the question, has he got the final say over that? Or have I got the final say? Very easy to test that. Because if I still have the final say in that area, wherever it might be this morning, I'm king in that area. If Jesus is king of my finances, that means he's got the final say. If Jesus is king of my time, he's got the final say. If Jesus is king of my family, he's got the final say. And that means sometimes what he says and what I say or feel or want to, it doesn't match up. And then we have a decision, or we've got a choice to make. Am I going to go according to what I want to? Or what he wants. And for us, as an army of God, as an army of Vinduk, as Shofar Vinduk, the only time when we're going to become a remarkable force, a church that can be that can make a difference, is then when we collectively come to that place that Christ is our King, individually, but also as a church, that Christ is our King, not just our Savior. That's a humbling place. That's a place where there's no place for pride. There's a place that we have to admit sometimes we make mistakes. That's a place that we have to give him that place. These men decided to make David their king. And when you give him that place in your life, then you receive accordingly as well. If you treat him as somebody else, you wouldn't receive as you receive from a king. It's important this morning. You want to receive as a son from the king, make him the king this morning in your life. Next verse, verse 13 and 14. Let's put it up there. See, he was with David when the Philistines gathered for battle at Pos Damim and attacked the Israelites in a field full of barley. The Israelite army fled. But Eliezer and David held their ground, take note of that, held their ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord saved them by giving them a great victory. Two men, they were standing while the army was fleeing. I don't know about you, sometimes God calls you. And then everybody says, yes, we're with you. We do this. And then the popo hits the fan. And then fear and faith separates. Because those with fear present run. And if there's faith in you, you will stand. And if we say to one another, we want to be history makers, we want to be people that God wants to use, then we'll have to get rid of fear. There are too many people sitting here this morning with callings upon their lives, with ministries that we're supposed to start, with specific people that we're supposed to reach, but fear is occupying you. It's paralyzing you. Fear's got that ability to paralyze us. It's almost like in nature you see that. That when an animal wants to attack the other one, that sometimes you've seen that with the buck, sometimes that the buck is almost so paralyzed with fear that he doesn't know which direction to go. And fear is the opposite of faith, is the thing that will keep us from pursuing and reaching where God has called us. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 12 to 23, the result of them being fearless says, there was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Basically, what it's saying here, if we can get rid of fears, or our fear, we can start killing giants. There's so many giants around us of ministries that needs to be started. And just in the natural, we've got a giant of a church building that's waiting for us there. For some of us, it's just, oh, we don't have the money for that. Oh, great, thank God we don't have the money. Because now we at least can't put the effort or the we can't boast in it ourselves. Because God knows He wants to take us in this journey. I was talking to Josh the other day about a plan that they've got in the north. Thank God for opportunities like that. Thank God for the giants. Just get rid of the fear. Because if we can get rid of the fear and walk in faith, there will be Noahs around us. And I'm going to pray a little bit later for the Noahs around us. You see, the Noah was the one that built the ark alone. The ark is not built with a group often, because too many of us are afraid. And God is calling us to unite together with that spirit that's fearless and say, God, here we are. We're willing to take you on your word. We're willing to step out. Before you can listen, before you can build the ark, sometimes God's testing you. Can you be obedient to build the lifeboat, the small one? But now the ark is just too big. God, we're not going to. But just start with the little lifeboat. Go and fetch somebody. Bring them. Get them out of the water. Save them. Go. Get them to Jesus. Connect them. But we're so intimidated sometimes by the obstacles and the things that's in our way that we never move out in faith because of fear. And I want to say to you this morning, if there's one thing, as I was preparing this week, I said to the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to this congregation specifically? I want you to sit down, listen carefully to me. For those of us that's not here, pass the message on. And I sense the Lord said, fill this place. Fill this place with people. Because I love Him. There's too much at stake for me just to come and sit here every Sunday. Just enjoy this Sunday. I mean, I enjoy God's presence. And I'm not saying that, but I love Him too much, and I know His heart, but I can't sit here, come back, and just sit without going out and say, Lord, I want more people to experience what I experience. This is precious. This is, I almost said cool. This is precious. I want more people to experience what I've experienced. You know that story about the blind man that can see, that was healed? And that is, to me, such a powerful story. He didn't have any frame of reference. He didn't have any theological training. He didn't go to Bible school. He's probably just been saved one day. And he had his sight. And that's a lesson for all of us. Irrespective of where you are. But the moment God has touched you, you've got to test me. I don't care how long or old, you've got to test me the moment God has touched you. I loved the other day when Stephen said at the camp, you know, he was... he was saved. The one day, the next day, he brought, I don't know, 10 or 15 people to the church. Huh? 15 people. And they asked him, how do I get saved? He said, I don't know. But you need to get this. You need to get what I have. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. Where is fear preventing us this morning? 1 Chronicles 11, verse 17 to 19. It's easy this way. Let's go there. David remarked longingly to his men, oh, how would I love some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew some water from the well by the gate in the Bethlehem, and brought it back to David. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. That word long is the Hebrew word avar. Avar, which is referred to 26 times the Bible used that word avar, which refers to a great desire to covet greatly, to become covetous. There's something more. And here's the thing. David, as being a type of Christ, they, as men around them, were just sensitive enough to pick up on his desires. If we want to become history makers, we'll need to become a bit more sensitive to his desires. And I want to ask you this morning, just as a reference for ourselves, do I know his desires for myself, for his people? Or do I just come, go through the motions, do this because this is expected of me, or do I do this because I know this is his desires? These men were willing to break through enemy territory. They were willing to put their lives at risk. And I tell you what, when you come to that place where you realize and you discover the king's desires, it does something inside of you that you are willing to move out of that safe place. And they could sit there and say, well, we're not going to go there. But it moves you, it activates you, it spurs you onto that place where you want to go and say, I'm willing to risk my life. I'm willing to risk my reputation. I'm willing to cross through enemy lines just so that I can please his desires. That's the biggest thing that we need to have in our midst. It's not just to reach people, but to please him. And we please him when we live for him and we connect other people to him. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning, a shofar vinuk. Spend time with him. Spend time with him in these next 3 months. Maybe it's time that you need to go and take out time and say, Lord, for the next 3 months, I'm just going to spend time with you, discovering your desires for me, where you've called me. It's holy. Listen, this is holy. He's called you on that holy highway. And what are your desires for us as a church? So that we can get to that place that we'll break through enemy territory to get to the water, because it's precious. It's an offering unto the Lord. You see, we want to give birth to the things of God. Sometimes we want to be used, but we don't want to go through the discomfort. And if you look at that in the natural, before any woman can give birth, there's a period, especially at the end, a period of discomfort. If the baby could just come, I can't turn around. Your wife would know, or you would know as husband, you would know as well. Can just lay on this one side, and it's painful, and all of that that's coming with that. But because we are not willing to go through that discomfort, God can't make us pregnant. Because, oh God, I don't. And I want to say to you, maybe you are at a discomfortable place this morning in your journey with God. Thank God for that. Because he's saying to me, God is about to do something. The only thing is, if we can get ourselves past that place of discomfort or maybe discontentment this morning, to take it back into prayer and say, God, there must be something more. You know, sometimes God starts in our lives, and I found in my own life, you become discontent, you become discomfortable, you're not comfortable at that place, and then you start, and you can moan and complain, or you can start taking that back into prayer. And say, God, I see something that's bothering me. God, this about your kingdom, or this need, or this is, I just can't sleep. This is bothering me. What are we supposed to do? There's nobody. Is it just me that's feeling like that or sensing this? and you take it to prayer, and God is doing something in our hearts. Because before God can do something out there with us, He needs to start with our hearts. I'm just so passionate about that. I shared it in the beginning of the year about prayer, that we bring everything, take it before God and say, God, here we are. God, I feel my heart is breaking for these kids. I shared with the guys the other day. I'm sitting there with my my kids there in the Moela, and then the Holy Spirit just started ministering to me. What about the kids? You know, when the Holy Spirit makes you aware of certain things, sometimes you just want to, sometimes I just want to turn a blind eye, because I know now I'm almost in trouble, because he made me aware. At least I know now. And he's asking me, can you see the kids? Can you see the kids? What are you doing about that? And we still don't have a full strategy. And I still don't know the all, the whys and the hows. And I've got a little plan, but I'm just going to step out in faith. But then I knew the first thing that we should do probably is just go and take our intercession team and just pray. Then they will know that they've done that. We've done that. But it doesn't stop there. Now we have to move out in action. Now it's actually much more difficult. It's more difficult than the feeling that I had. And wow, praise God for what I've heard. It's more difficult than the prayer we prayed, because we can pray there, but now I have to put my money where my mouth is. And now I'm going to look like a fool probably. And maybe there's just going to be five kids that, what God if just five turn up? That's all the questions that come up. And God, what if it doesn't succeed? And what will the people say? Don't you think Noah had own moments like that? What do people say if we build this stupid thing that you don't say stupid thing? Chronicles 12 is 15. Can we get it up there? It's the last one. Day after day, more men joined David until he had a great army. Is that no, it's in the wrong scripture. 15? 14 and 15? 15, sorry. Yeah. These were the men who crossed the Jordan River during its seasonal flooding at the beginnings of the year and drove out all the people living in the lowlands and both the east and west banks. Drove out all the people living in the lowlands. And I just share with you, if we want to go where God is leading us to, we'll have to decide not to compromise. They could leave those people there. And that's why Old Testament is so interesting. They could leave them there, but they will become an obstacle later in their journey with God. They had to make a decision right at the beginning. We're going to drive you out. We're going to take you out of the way because you're standing in the way of where God is taking us. And it's so possible this morning, sitting here with obstacles, with things that's causing us to compromise. Some of us, I don't know what it might be this morning. Maybe it's in our own being, in our own flesh that sometimes just trips us. Just sometimes, I just want to go further. I just want to go deeper, but just because this is my, it's almost like it's exposing our Achilles heel when we start compromising. And it's a weakness. The enemy knows. I just get you there. If I can get you there, I just keep you back. I hold you back from the fullness that God has called you. Sometimes it's people. Sad to say. The naysayers. The ones with the fear. God places a burden upon your heart, a passion in your heart, and says, go for it. And then you compromise by listening to the wrong voices rather than listening to Him. And there are times when we are alone, but it's times like that that God is strengthening our faith, that's building into us and say, keep on running, keep on running, keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on being faithful. Galatians 6 says, do not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Because if you keep on sowing, you will reap. It's the law of sowing and harvest. If you keep on sowing in that person's life, if you keep on being obedient in that ministry where you've started, where God has placed you, or where God is putting a seed inside of your heart, do not be mocked. I'll end with this scripture. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 22 says this. Day after day, more men joined David until he had a great army like the army of God. Amen. I never saw that before. I never saw that they would compare David's army with the army of God. Now to compare David's army with the army of God, I think that's a high standard. Huh? I just saw it this week. It's like, like the army of God. I mean, the army of God is thousands and almost millions of angels that's out there. But they were so courageous, fearless, decided to make David their king, or God their king in this context for us. Willing to seek his desires and not to compromise on that, that made them such an army. Can you imagine in those four areas as a church this morning, if we can decide collectively, we're going to make Jesus the king of this church. And that goes deep. Listen, that goes deeper than where we are right now. That will probably mean we'll have to ask a few honest conversations with one another in accountability relationship. We'll have to ask deeper questions. Is Jesus really king in this area? Yes or no? Or what are we going to do about it? Do we really, or are we operating in fear? Or is it time that we start walking out in faith? Forget about looking like fools. It's fine. I'd rather be a fool that failed than being a successful guy that fears and sits down here. But at least I learned a lesson through my foolishness. And I can get up. And the Bible says the righteous man gets up 7 times. Because the unrighteous one lies down in his own folly, in his own despair. If we can get ourselves to that place of seeking his desires completely, God, it's your desires for this church. Just that. Your desires for me. Nothing more. That will please me. And if we can get ourselves this morning to say, God, once we figure that out, we're not going to compromise. We know where we're going. This is going to be a tough road. This is going to be a high mountain. This is going to be a low valley. But God, you are with us. Your rod and your staff guides us. Your presence is with us. Amen. I read you one scripture. It's a prophetic scripture. And I still don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. I had some other stuff in mind. And I want to pray for people, but maybe it's just the time that the Holy Spirit says, don't pray. Go back home and count the cost. I love equipping people. I love praying for people, laying hands upon people, and having spiritual moments like that in encounter with God. And it's great. But I do sense God says, go back home. Don't lay hands upon any person this morning. Go back home and go and count the cost. And then you come back when you're ready for the army, when the ram's horn is blowing. And then we go. Because I sense I had some words for some people here this morning where God is calling specific people in specific areas. But here's the thing. God knows about that. He can bring that up again. He can use that again. He can affirm that. He can say that to you again. He doesn't need me this morning to do that. I want to be obedient, but I sense that God is saying, go back home, count the cost, spend time with God. Come back in 3 months' time. I'll be here, back here, roughly. We'll do the ordination. We spend time and say, this is the way forward. Now we got to know each other. Now we all know where we are. Now I know why I'm here. Now I know why I'm here on earth as well. So many people can't tell even other people, why am I here? Spend time with God for 3 months just asking, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here in this congregation? Not by coincidence. Not just because JP is a nice guy, Pastor Philip invited me. I'm here for a specific purpose so that you continue writing a story for this church, not for me. It's not about me and you as individual. It's one scripture I'll end and then we pray. Beautiful scripture. Joel 3, verse 9. Is it up there? New King James Version. I love this. It say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Amen. That's my prophetic word for Shofar Windhoek this morning. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. You've got 3 months. And I just for the sake of our reference, we work with time. God has not got a reference for that. But it's a time of solitude. It's a time of seeking God. It's a time of God, I'm preparing myself. There are too many, listen to me, there are too many Noahs in our midst that God has called you to build an ark. And the ark is a representative of a place, or it's a place of redemption and restoration. You were supposed to start with that ark long time ago with a ministry, with something reaching thousands with the potential of saving so many people because fear paralyzed you, or maybe you were not at the right spot, the right place. Maybe just, I don't know what it might be this morning. But God gives us a period and a window of grace to prepare ourselves for that time. And it's in this time that's so precious that we just sit with the Father and ask Him, who am I? I find sometimes we run in ministry, and I see that around me sometimes, that we do things because we want recognition and we want affirmation from other people. And that's not the right motivation. It's great to say thank you and you've done well, and I believe that we need to honor one another for that. But ultimately, I can't stand here this morning trying and bring my contribution so that I can hopefully get a, oh, you've done great, from people. If I have to rely upon that, man, it's a lonely place. What if they don't give me that? Maybe I should tell you a joke. I'll tell that after the prayer so that we don't break the moment now about this whole thing about contribution. But ultimately, I want to hear that from my Father. You are my son. The Lord had to say that so many times to me. Yaku, you're not the pastor to me. You're my son. And I want to say that to you, Sally. I want to say that to whoever you are, what occupation, you're my son. First of all, before whatever you do for God and whatever you bring to Him, I just do this because I love Him. And I have to say, like Paul said, whoa, if I don't do this. I know that. I can probably be successful in other things, but that doesn't matter. God has asked me to do this, and He's asked you to do something specifically. Each one of you. Each one of you has been called to bring something to the altar. What is that this morning? Don't you want to spend 3 months' time just say, Lord, here I am. I can tell you what, we will set some strong church, such a running church, getting out of our crawling phases, if we've all figured out why are we here in this church. This church has gone through ups and downs. We honor those people that's gone before us, but it's not time to crawl anymore. It's not time to sit back and wait with excuses and say, yeah, if we are just a little bit bigger, if we just have a little bit more older people. I hear the excuses. Oh, we just have younger people. If we can just have more brown people, if we can just have more white people, if we can just have more youth. Well, I mean, you hear them in every church. The one church longs for what the other's got, and the other church longs for what the other one. And we just don't do anything about it. Just start where you are, with the people that God has given you. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank You this morning, Lord. There's nothing that we can boast, and I end with that as well, Lord. That as we finished our worship with that, Lord, I'm reminded of it, that we can only boast in the cross this morning. Father, my prayer this morning is for each and every one of us that we'll come back to the cross. All of us, Lord. I pray for every member here, present, not being present. For the next 3 months, Father, that we'll come back to the cross somewhere. That we'll meet with You. We'll sit with You. We'll be patient, Lord. We'll ask honest questions. And Father, I pray that we'll not be afraid of honesty. Honesty with ourselves, but honesty with You as well. Father, I pray for a preparation of the mighty men of war, Lord, in this congregation, Lord. A calling up, Lord. I speak, O Spirit of God, over everyone, Lord, being here this morning, those out there, Lord, this morning, passive or inactive, irrespective, Lord, whether they are passive here, Lord, that You will call them up again, Lord. If they are that those that are active, that You will call them again, Lord, that You will renew, Father, the calling upon their lives, Lord, that You will renew, Father, the commandment, that You will renew to them, Lord, that You will make known to each and every one, Father, Your desires, Father. Father, we thank You for individual families, Father, to be raised up, Father, as beacons of hope, as towers, Father, of light. Lord, I thank You, Father, for individuals in this church, Lord, to be raised up, Father, that will run in the front, Lord, that will take ownership, Father, that will say, here we are, Father. We are willing to go out to war. We are willing to stand side by side next to one another. We thank You, Father, this morning that we speak it over this congregation, that this is a congregation, Father, that will not operate in fear, but only in faith, Father. I thank You, Father, that no mountain too high, Lord, will be an obstacle for this congregation, Father. I pray this morning, Father, for this congregation, Father, that each and everyone will continue to seek You and desire and decide, Lord, to make You their King. I pray this morning, Father, that once we have come to that place of the understanding of why, Lord, that we will not compromise. Lord, I think about your word. I think about you, Lord Jesus, that the Bible says that once you've set your face upon Jerusalem, Lord, it was like a flint, like a stone, that you'll set your face upon a destiny, upon what you were called to do, Lord, and nobody could stop you, Lord, from that calling, from why you were sent here, Lord. And you went all the way through the cross, through the grave this morning, so that we can be conquerors as well this morning. Father, I pray that we will raise out, I speak it over everyone, Lord, that's still in the grave this morning, that's still at the cross, not past the grave this morning. I say, rise them up in Jesus' name, mighty men of war, Lord, that would come out of the graves, Lord, that will shake off the grave clothes of their lives, Lord, that will say, it's not about my past, it's about my future, what where God is calling me. Father, I pray for men and women, Father, that will not boast in their own ability, Father, that will not boast in their own contribution, Father. I pray that this will be a place, Lord Jesus, where it's about your kingship, Lord, where it's about you, Lord, in our midst, Father, that where no man gets honor other than you this morning. Father, thank you that we will honor one another, but ultimately you will be our King, Lord, in our midst, in this congregation, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.